Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this morning. Please sign the attendance register at the end of the pew and pass it on to your neighbors, as this helps us serve our church family and visitors. And please join us for our Wednesday Lenten suppers that continue this coming Wednesday, March 8th at 6 o'clock p.m. The Men of Faith group is providing this supper. And as we continue looking at the passion or suffering of Christ, Pastor Dennis will explain the meaning behind the spikes and the cross of Christ, our Lord. This Sunday, through Palm Sunday, April 2nd, we are welcoming your contributions for our children and youth to flower the cross during both the 8:30 and 11 o'clock services Easter morning. The anticipated costs of the 1,000 fresh-cut flowers that transform the black cross of death into a flowered cross of Christ's resurrection is about $1,000. There's a flyer to fill out if you have persons that you would like to make your contribution in memory or in honor of. Please make your check out to Berry Christian Church, but also please write Flowering of the Cross on the memo line so it will get to the correct place. And please remember that this coming Saturday night, March 11th, we will spring forward with the change of our clocks before next Sunday morning services on the 12th. The youth and our youth sponsors wish to thank Berry Christian Church for taking them to Winter Jam this past Friday evening. It was quite special for several of our kiddos, as the house DJ noticed their enthusiasm for the music and the message and invited them to go on stage with one of the bands in front of about, I'm going to estimate, 10 to 15,000 people at Sprint Center. And yes, we got them on video. And Cindy Sexton and I are going to work to put together a collage of some sort for this event, so that we can maybe put it on our church website or Facebook page or maybe our email list, so that we can share some of these moments with all of you. All right, and Pastor Dennis has a few words he'd like to share.
We are acknowledging this morning that this Sunday is Lenora and Ken's last Sunday to be present with us in worship. Lenora has been our accompanist for the last 5 years. In fact, Lenora, I'm mindful of the fact that it was the first Sunday of March of that 1 year you started, and you're actually departing from your service with us on the same Sunday of the month. So it's exactly 5 years that you have been in fellowship and serving as our accompanist. And Ken, we are so grateful that on so many occasions you have stepped in and have been of assistance to us in worship in a multitude of ways. We are so grateful to both of you. We have a card and a gift to share with them, but we're going to do that in the second service. But let's give them a hand as we thank them for their service. Thank you both so much. Thank you. Want to also mention that Angie Bounds, who is present with us. Angie, we're delighted you're here with us this morning. And Angie will become our accompanist, and she will start actually on the on Easter Sunday, the second Sunday of the month of April. And the vote of the board was passed last Sunday. And Angie, we are indeed grateful that the good Lord has sent you to us. So we are grateful for that. I also need to mention to you that on Easter Sunday, that will be Jim's last Sunday to be present with us as our family life director, as Jim is resigning from that position. Jim, we're so grateful for everything you've been doing for our church for such an extended period of time, well beyond your context in an employed position. Jim is wanting to spend more time with Kelly and also to continue focusing more attention on his counseling endeavors, as he's now working for two different corporations, essentially. And so, Jim, we are grateful. Thank you so much. Let's give Jim a hand. Thank you. Thank you. So, we know life is always filled with transition, but we also know the Holy Spirit guides all of us in our various endeavors to be of service to His kingdom. May we have Ryan come forward and lead us in our call to worship. Ryan, thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power.
For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created.
Thanks be to God. We'll now sing hymn number 714, all stanzas of For the Fruit of All Creation.
For a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you as always for the privilege to gather here with like-minded Christians in worship and praise. We are humbled to be your children and to receive love and mercy from you, our Heavenly Father. As we do each week at this time, we pray that your Holy Spirit be present among us and that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. We pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now.
Take a few moments to greet and welcome each other this morning. Thank you. All right, please be seated. We would love to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Well, good morning, guys. Man, we got a shake-up going on around here, don't we? Yeah. Sometimes that's a good thing. Get things, shake them up a little bit. What have I got here? What's this? Just a piece of wood, right? Yeah, yeah. What's all this stuff made of? Our wood? Yep. This is all just a whole bunch of pieces of wood all put together, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. We make great things. See, I can't really do too much out of this chunk of wood, can I? No, can't do too much with it. I mean, it's not even heavy enough to be a doorstop. Let's see. I'm not sure what I could do with it. I guess I could glue something to the top of it, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway. But, see, so what do you, if I had a whole pile of pieces of wood, a big old pile, what do you see when you see a big old pile of wood? Huh? A castle? Okay, good. What do you see when you see a big old pile of wood? All of these things, no matter what you see, it's called, we see potential. We look at something and we see potential. That means we see what it could be, not just what it is. Well, you know what? That's what God sees when he looks at us. He sees our potential. He sees what we can be. If, here it comes, if we just listen to the Holy Spirit when it tries to tell us what it wants us to do. Because the Holy Spirit is what? Do you remember what the Holy Spirit is? It's the voice of our Lord, isn't it? It's just the voice. It's what helps us hear the voice of God, the voice of Jesus. It kind of taps us on the shoulder sometimes and goes, you know what? I think you would be so good over there. Because I know you'd be good at doing that. And that's a great place. If we just listen. If we listen when the Holy Spirit directs us, we can fulfill the potential that God sees in us. God made each one of you to be and do special, awesome stuff. You just have to listen and obey. I think we have a song that goes something like that, don't we? We'll have to think about that one. Okay, shall we have a prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for these children. We thank you for all the potential in not only our children but our adults to be, to do, to answer when the Holy Spirit guides us. Help us to always have ears to hear and a heart to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. As we go to God in prayer this morning, our sympathies extended to Pastor Bob McGee. Many of you I know Bob, as he was interim pastor here before I arrived. And Bob's wife, Shirley, passed into the Lord's presence on Thursday of this past week, the 2nd of March. services are pending at the present time, and as soon as we get more information about that, we will share that word through the prayer chain on the emails. And I know that Bob was having to return from the mission trip to Jamaica early because of Shirley's passing, and Kay Yoakum, one of our members who normally attends the 11 o'clock service, she was on that mission trip as well as many other folks that I know you all know. So let's keep Bob in our prayers. Wanda Egret had a fall on Friday, and that ended up with a fracture which resulted in her having to go through a complete hip replacement of her left hip yesterday morning at North Kansas City Hospital. So please keep Wanda, Anna, and all the Egret family in your prayers. Mary Otto continues her rehabilitation at North Kansas City Hospital, and also Jacob Squires' father, Randy Squires, underwent a triple bypass heart surgery at North Kansas City. That also took place this past Friday, and he's still in intensive care but making good progress. We also lift up Gene Lundy, as he was in the hospital briefly but is now home. And Jake Otto is looking to have hip replacement surgery on the 16th of March. And Lita and Kim, we're so delighted both of you are back with us. And Lita, so glad to hear that this recent procedure has seen some relief for you. So we're grateful for that. Bless you both. Also, again, we keep Patty and Butch Miller in prayer as they're recovering from the coronavirus. And Susan Hanks continues to be at home in rehabilitation. She is seeing incremental improvement on her ability to walk again, but that left leg and hip and foot still kind of, you know, are resistant to the cause. But we just keep her in prayer as we just hope that with every day she just sees a continued renewal. Vicki Jones is in our prayers, Jerry and Betty Donahue, Rihanna Ralston, John Adams as well. We also keep Chris Ralston, son of Ruth Ann, in prayer. Ruth Ann, as you mentioned, that Chris is going to be having a hip repair surgery, not a replacement of the joint, but a repair surgery. That's going to be taking place on the 23rd of March, if I had that date right. And we also keep in prayer Chris Laufer, the son of Don and Vicki Laufer. Chris is at North Kansas City Hospital, also with heart concerns, but making some steady progress here. So you can see we've had a lot of time at North Kansas City Hospital this past week. Doris McGeehee's sister and brother-in-law, Anita and Kurt Smid, we're keeping them in prayer. And Doris, you're in our prayers as you make that journey to Germany next Sunday morning. Also, Joyce Osborne's brother-in-law, Matt Morrow, Samantha Sander, Amy Sander, and a number of other folks we've been lifting up as we've progressed through these last several weeks. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we express our thanks for the privilege to worship you freely in ways that we hope honor your name and are in accordance to your guidance in Scripture. We give thanks for the privilege to offer up the concerns of many who are near and dear to us, even as we also seek your divine intervention and comfort for the millions of people the world over in need of so many of the comforts that we take for granted every day. We give you thanks for the privilege to lift up hymns of praise as they help us feel united in our efforts to praise your name and give us just a hint of what it may be like to worship you one day in your heavenly realm. We give you thanks for the privilege to read your word as we strive to learn your teachings of the law and of Christ's example, in hopes that we too may live lives that honor your kingdom's work here on earth. And as we go about our task in this new week, we also give you thanks for the privilege to do our best to live lives that may be a living witness, in hopes that others may know of your great grace and love through the witness we share. For all these blessings, and for so many more, we give you thanks, O God, as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
After living our Christian lives throughout the week, if we're doing it right, when we come into this place, we have dents all over our holy armor, for all of you folks who read Ephesians. But when we have a chance to come to this place, we get those dents straightened out. We have a chance to be recharged and renewed and to sing great joy for the gift that Christ has given us. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays, stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, calls us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever-blessing, ever-blessed, wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depths of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, fill us with the joy divine. Mortals, join the happy chorus which the morning stars began. Father, love is reigning o'er us, binding woman, child, and man. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us sunward in the triumph song of life. Sing the triumph song of life. Joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love.
This morning's communion hymn was originally composed to be a children's hymn of thanksgiving, expressing thanks to God for the beauty of the earth, the experiences of each day, the joy of our senses, our joyous relationship with others, and also the blessing of the church. But even as we give thanks for all of these experiences here on earth, as we gather around the Lord's table this morning, may we also express our genuine thanks for all that Christ our Lord has done for us as he became our Savior. We prepare our hearts and minds to receive the blessing of the bread and cup of the Lord's Supper in memory of Christ's blessing to us as we turn to our communion hymn and sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5 of hymn number 56, For the Beauty of the Earth.
sound and sight. Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For thy church that
as we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." We bow our heads as Ron leads us in a word of prayer.
As we gather around this table, no words can express our gratitude and amazement that you should die on the cross for us. How amazing it is that each one of our lives is so valuable to you that you would lay down your life for us. May the bread and the wine remain with us as we seek to take your message of love and grace into the world. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4 tells us, "If you, Lord, kept the record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you." We are indeed grateful for the overwhelming forgiveness and grace given to us by God. And as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning, we recognize that the ongoing task of the Church of Jesus Christ is to convey God's great grace to others. Thus, it is with joy that we offer our tithes and offerings as Anne leads us in a word of prayer.
Gracious God, thank you for Berry Christian Church and every individual that's ever entered our doors. You've blessed Berry for many, many years, and in many, many ways, we're so fortunate that we have no mortgage and we can pay our utility bills and do our mission work. And we know it's because you've blessed us and all of those who give so joyfully and freely. We ask now that you bless the offerings we receive today, that they will be used to your glory. These things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord God, we pray that this offering is used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Last week, you may recall that we began a new series of messages to carry us through this Lenten season. On Sunday mornings, and again, a different set of messages from what we have for our Lenten suppers on Wednesdays. Here in worship, we are looking at the meaning behind numbers that have a significant meaning that God is conveying to us, even by numerical values. Last week we looked at 3, today we're looking at 7. But as we are looking at the number 7, have you ever wondered why the Bible tells us that God created the world in 6 days, and then, of course, he stopped on the 7th? And then he said to us that the 7th day was to be a holy day, was to be a day of rest. Why did God decide to create the world in what we call the 6 days and then a 7th for rest? Now, by the way, you know, we always have this ongoing debate about, well, God created the earth in 6 24-hour periods. No, he didn't. because God had all the time in the world. When people tell you that, they're not understanding the scriptures. If you actually look at the Hebrew context, which is the language in which the Old Testament was originally written, a day does not mean a 24-hour time period on a clock. In the Hebrew language, it simply means a span of time. Therefore, God had all the time in the universe to create the universe, did he not? And so when it says on the first day, we could say in the first span of time, certain things were created. The second span of time, certain things were created. So let's get that clear before we get further into the whole idea of the 7 days. All right? We need to understand the Hebrew. We need to understand the Greek in which our Bible was originally written. But why 7 time periods? Why not 12? Why not 24? Why not a couple of dozen? Why 7? At the same time, why also is it that Jesus had 7 final sayings as he died on the cross? Let's find out today as we discover the biblical significance of the number 7. So our scripture reading this morning, Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And so the whole universe was completed. By the 7th day, God finished what he had been doing and stopped working. He blessed the 7th day and set it apart as a special day, because by that day, he had completed his creation and stopped working. And that is how the universe was created. May we bow our heads in prayer. Merciful and loving God, for the meaning you have given to the number 7 throughout Scripture, we give you praise and thanksgiving. For the more we learn about the wisdom of your word, the more we appreciate your guiding hand through the centuries. For it is in Christ's name that we give thanks. Amen. All of us are familiar with this text that I just read to you from Genesis 2. It tells us that God created the universe in 6 days, and then on the 7th, he set that day apart as a special day, which is to be a day of rest and a day to honor God. As Exodus chapter 20, verse 11 tells us, in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the 7th day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And of course, one of our problems with societies today is that we have forgotten what it means to make the Sabbath or the 7th day a holy day. You know, let's face it, we live in a world of where everything's supposed to be 24/7. But last week, we learned that through many biblical stories, the number 3 represents God's holiness and completeness. And this is also the case for the number 7. Throughout many biblical events, the number 7, like 3, also represents completeness or divine perfection. It symbolizes that a divine mandate has been fulfilled. Something is indeed finished. The number 7 is used more than 700 times in the Bible, and that's compared to 467 times that the number 3 is used. In the creation of the universe, the seventh day was to be set aside to honor the completion of God's handiwork. Keeping the 7th day as a day of rest is meant to draw our attention to God and worship to the Creator. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 2, we notice that there are 7 pairs of clean animals in Noah's Ark. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 37, when the tabernacle is constructed in the Sinai wilderness, the tabernacle's lampstand is made with 7 stems to represent the wholeness and completeness of God's presence. In Joshua chapter 6, verses 3 through 4, the Hebrew people were commanded to march around Jericho how many days? Seven. And then on the seventh day, they made seven circuits. And then seven priests blew seven trumpets outside the city walls. All this was done to prove that in following God's instructions, God's mandate would be fulfilled completely. And this leads us to the Hebrew victory over the pagan city. Then in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10, the instructions for Nahum, who was suffering from leprosy, was to bathe in the Jordan River seven times. Again, it was symbolic of the notion that this cleansing is indeed complete and that healing takes place completely. All of these images related to sevens emphasize that God's presence and purpose in the event and is for God's purposes to fulfill the completion of something that is instituted by God. And during the season of Lent, we also recognize that in the Gospels of Matthew, Luke, and John, Jesus conveys seven distinct expressions as he suffers on the cross. Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Jesus says to God concerning those who condemn and crucify him, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Luke chapter 24, verse 33, to one of the criminals on the cross beside him, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27, Jesus says to his mother Mary and to the apostle John, "Woman, behold your son." And then he says to the disciple, "Behold your mother," as he hands over his responsibility of his mother to his beloved disciple, John. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46, Jesus asks of God, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" John chapter 19, verse 28, Jesus says, "I thirst." John 19, verse 30, Jesus says, "It is finished." Luke chapter 23, verse 46, Jesus says to God just before he dies, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." So you see here, Jesus has seven expressions, not 12, not 10, not three. He has seven to emphasize that there is a full completeness of this holy plan that God has set forth for the salvation of humanity. As we again remember that the number seven in the Bible is often symbolic of completion. It is completion of a perfectly divine plan. So it is to help us remember that God's intervention is truly in the midst of what is taking place. All of this conveys to us that God can always be relied upon to complete what he says he's going to do. And Christ our Lord also gives us a profound example of his faithfulness to God by completing precisely what God had asked him to do. As Jesus says of himself in John chapter 4, verse 34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 tells us that Jesus did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross. And now he sits seated at the right side of God's throne. And through this use of the number seven, God and his son Jesus are setting forth an example to all of God's people for the glory of God's purposes. Finish the task of being faithful to God. Now, as we back up in some of the messages I've recently shared with you, as we were looking at the Urgemeyer's Bible storybook about King Josiah, we learned that for hundreds of years, the Hebrew people failed to finish the task. When they went into the promised land, they were supposed to bring the distinctiveness of their faith as it had been forged for them during their wilderness experience. But what we learned in the stories I shared with you just a few weeks ago is that from the time of Solomon and the construction of the temple, it wasn't long at all before the Hebrew people were allowing pagan religious beliefs and practices to infiltrate their religious upbringing, if you will, to the extent that they had even allowed idols to be in Solomon's temple. They had failed to complete the task. Then, of course, young King Josiah comes on the scene. You remember what he did? He ordered that there be a complete remodeling and redoing of the temple, and all of those idols and stuff to be thrown out. And it was in that process of trying to find a new devotion to God that what happened? They rediscovered the book of the law, the very book that was supposed to be their guiding light. It would be like us losing the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, or losing its meaning. Right? And yet, not only in the rediscovery was the word reinstituted in their lives, but also we know that the Lord's, or what became the Lord's Supper, the Passover, was also reinstituted. Remember from what we shared with you? Again, it's a matter of keeping the faith. It's a matter of finishing the task. If there ever was a person, a human being. You know, when we look at Jesus' life, we think, well, that was Jesus. That's, you know, he's holy. We can't hold up the standard of Jesus. No, we can't. We can't. But we have examples of inspiring people as well. And certainly the Apostle Paul is one of the most distinctive people in Scripture. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Paul, we know that this account is for us here. As it is stated, but I do not account my life of any value, nor precious to myself. If only I may finish my course and the ministry that I've received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel and the grace of God. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, here the Apostle Paul writes to young Timothy, I have done my best in the race. I have run the full distance. I have kept the faith. And now there is waiting for me the prize of victory awarded for a righteous life, the prize which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but all those who wait with love for him to appear. So concerning ourselves, what does the number 7 have to communicate to you and to me? It communicates to us God's holiness. It communicates to us God's perseverance in spite of our sinfulness. It communicates to us that God will always finish the task. As did our Lord Jesus, as certainly did the Apostle Paul and other people of faith. But where does that leave you and me? We ask ourselves, are we finishing the task? We've made our confessions of faith. We've been baptized. But are we finishing the task of being faithful in our witness day after day after day? Or do we allow the stuff of the world to absorb all our time and energy? That is the challenge. As it says out on the sign this morning, finish it, right? Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today is that day. I know you can come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today can be your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. Our hymn of invitation, number 628, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. We're going to sing all stanzas, please. 628.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand, I am tired. take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, is past and gone. At the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord.
For being in the Lord's house this morning. And again, Lenora and Ken, we are indeed so grateful for the leadership you've given us in worship over the last 5 years. Bless you both, and thank you so much. Thank you. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit abides with us, and for this indeed we give thanks, as we know we can journey in ways that are being faithful to you. It's in the name of Christ we give thanks as we depart. Amen.
Let us now depart in thy peace, blessed Jesus. Send to us our homes with God love in our hearts. Let not the busy world claim all our loyalties. Keep us ever mindful, dear Lord, of let us now depart in thy peace, blessed Jesus. Send us to our homes with God's love in our hearts. Let not the busy world claim all our loyalties. Keep us ever mindful, dear Lord,